is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. It is Tuesday, the 7th of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message for you about My Gateway Services. Skip the line. You can now request a search or certified copies of deeds and documents from the Registrar General's Department online. Visit mygateway.gov.bs to apply. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, today's show is titled 9 Days Till General Election 2021, and we can pick up on the conversation we were having yesterday. So let me give you the text number, the text line number, and all of the ways that you can join the conversation this morning. So you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You could also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. So we have got 9 days till the next general election, and we have still have so many questions that need to be asked, and then so many questions that need to be answered. See, some questions can't be answered in one moment or right away, and so many questions should have already been answered. Like everything you've seen from the day that the House is dissolved is a part of the audition. All of this is the audition for governance for the next general election. And so pay close attention to the actions, the behaviors, and the language, the speech, the choice of words, the choice of subjects to engage in. All of these things we must pay attention to. For instance, I have one party or candidate speak directly to the issue of traffic management, driving behavior, and driving culture. Not one. I don't even think they think of it. I know the police don't think of traffic management as a part of their mandate, despite the fact that when you walk into the headquarters or into Central, you see a beautifully produced poster that says that every police officer is a traffic officer. I have a feeling these guys don't think about it at all. But maybe if they thought about it just for one tiny bit, they would understand how integral traffic management is to national development and daily island and country management. In fact, in Britain, the police, understanding their need to respect the rights of citizens, know that they can't just push up on a citizen for any old reason. And so, the police in Britain know that the laws and the rules pertaining to traffic give them power and tools that they could use for what they call interdicting crime, for engaging and stopping crime on a larger scale. So, what the police do? They use their discretion and their power and authority on the public roads to stop and search. And they're essentially just looking for basic traffic infractions. Like, did you know in England, it's an offense to drive with tires that the tread is so deteriorated, right? It hits a minimum limit of tread. It's an offense to drive with bad tires. Right? And so what the police do is they use their powers on the road for traffic interdiction, right, to help them get a grip on bigger crime issues. Now, I know a lot of them listening to the radio now very upset at me. Aaron, why are you telling the police how to catch criminals? Like, how you, like, you almost like you snitching. But I can be honest with you, the types of criminals that drive around doing foolishness and get caught by police officers in basic traffic stops, we don't need y'all. You fired. See, we even have a standard now. We're going to have a standard for criminality. We can no longer tolerate ignorant, careless, reckless criminals even. You won't be a criminal and you won't be lazy. You're just mashing things up for everybody. Pick a struggle. And so, for those people who feel that way, I tell you it's very simple. Stop riding dirty. Stop being silly. Surely if you move in contraband through the town, you shouldn't be smoking a joint in your car or on your cell phone while you're driving. Anyway, see, this was sort of prompted. I saw a story last week about a gentleman who was fined $7,000 for a fatal accident. A farmer who killed his front seat passenger when he plowed into the back of a parked truck had been fined $7,000, right? And he admitted to killing the passenger through dangerous driving before a magistrate. And $7,000 is not enough. It's not enough money to compensate for life loss. $7,000 don't even make any sense. And it made me think how trite, how we don't take this driving thing seriously at all. But back to the politics side of it, you see, because if I were a politician or if I were a police officer even, we don't even have to go to politics, let's just go to policy. If I were a police officer, I would focus on catching traffic infractions. I would focus on increasing the money and the revenue coming in to my department by focusing on these simple and easy things. And you know where I would start? I would start right at Shirley and Mackey Street intersection. See, we're talking about policy now. First of all, do you know how much revenue you could collect there from stopping and ticketing people for basic traffic offenses? But more importantly, look where it is. Shirley Street and Mackey Street intersection. That's where the taxis come from PI to take people into town or back into town or back to the airport. except a lot of you taxi drivers like to go through, was it, I think, Maud Road and the other road right next there. And somebody, in fact, a couple of people asked me to ask y'all, is the pawn in the back there the best kept secret in the Bahamas? Did it beat out Inagua? What is it in the back there that y'all taking all these tourists to see? And why wouldn't you let Bahamians see it? What are we missing out on? Why? And why is it the taxi drivers don't like to stop at stop signs and don't like to stop at red lights? Why? See, it's a policy thing. And I haven't heard one candidate. I haven't heard one candidate talk about it at all. I haven't heard one new policy idea. I haven't heard one new suggestion about how we're going to manage traffic. See, not just for the purpose of preserving life, not just for the purpose of minimizing stress on individual citizens who on a daily basis are terrorized. See, people on the road are being terrorized by reckless, careless drivers. And they're being made a mockery of by other drivers and by the police, who seem to be offended that ordinary citizens would try to bring basic traffic infractions to their attention. So we're 9 days away from the election, and I really, really want to know, does anybody care about the Bahamian people and their ability to move safely through their own country? And if you don't care about that, do you care about the effective and efficient movement of people, goods, and services that feed, that are the foundation of a healthy, functioning, and growing economy? I don't think anybody really cares. So again, this post was inspired by a lot of things. It was also inspired by two incidents I had this morning where a vehicle attempting to turn right on red at Mackey and Shirley, attempting to enter the westbound traffic on Shirley Street on his red light, was prevented because my car was in the place where he needed to be to enter traffic. And that driver got upset that we took the time to indicate to him that he cannot leave his corner. And he put his middle finger up at me. Now, I have his license plate number, but I'm not going to call it because he looked like a very, very influential and affluential man in his fancy Mercedes. So I'm not going to call your plate number. I'm just going to point out to the powers that be, if you're serious about governance, then get serious about governance. And to the police, if you're serious about social discipline and enforcing rules and laws in this country, then be serious about it. Maybe you also didn't know that there is a stop sign at the other end of Carter Street. Because we heard you blow your horn and then we witnessed like six cars run the stop sign with you in the vicinity. I don't know. I'm just hoping that somebody will pay attention to these things. And since you're around the place dissolving the house and looking for mandate, here's something for you to put on your mandate. I got a couple of texts coming in. Hi, Aaron. I was just having the conversation yesterday that it's disappointing not to hear any politician or political aspirant address the etiquette or lack thereof within our drivers, public, private, and commercial. You see, that's it. Trying to figure out how to jumpstart the economy. How do we turn a dollar into 50 cents without adding any more coins into the pot? Well, one of the things we can do is we can improve on our efficiency and effectiveness, right? With efficacy and efficiency, by regulating the movement of goods, people, and services. Another text, great show as usual, Miss Green. How tell let the next radio station beat y'all getting Daryl Miller to call the election. I mean, people are looking for all kinds of, you know, different entertainment. That's a beautiful thing about this planet. Everybody could get what they want. Some people want that type of entertainment. Aaron, the sad part about $7,000 is it don't go to the family. It goes to the state. This has to change. Absolutely, it has to change. Absolutely. That don't even go to the family members. That go to the government. Another text caller, I can come to you in a second. Ms. Green, I think it's going to be interesting what take place after the election, because if Minnis lose, Dwayne Sands will run against Minnis for leadership in the FNM, and if Brave lose, this is his last shot at being PM, so Chester will be leader. Well, we're going to get into that in a second, Texter, so prepare yourself. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning. My plan ran out of minutes. I'm telling you about the fingertip oxy-pulse-meter, right?
You're saying the fingertip voting?
Pulse oximeter.
Oh, right. No, I got you. Yeah.
That checks your lungs and your heart rate.
Yeah, and if, hold on.
If you're in hospital, they put it on your fingertip.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to say that any candidate vying, especially a candidate that's a part of an established political party, they should have been thinking about putting things like that in their little giveaway bag.
Yeah.
With the school supplies.
I ordered one from Walmart for $12. Now,
right.
It costs a little bit more. But that gives you the benefit that your lungs is working good. You don't panic.
Right.
Now, you have your pressure. You can check your pressure. You can check your lungs. Anything below 990, mm-hmm. go to the doctor. If you go 100, it's the best. So I've been around 97. Anyhow.
Thank you.
So to Bahamians, please go and get a pulse oximeter. It's called. Anyhow, let's get back to the hand. If you Google, right,
mm-hmm.
Chinese ventilator in Miami landfill. Somebody ordered millions of the landfill, but the U.S. Customs they were not FDA approved. They went in the landfill.
No, so man.
Give it to.
They didn't. They put them in the landfill. They didn't even scrap them to recycle them.
They just crush them. They had a tractor still in the box. They just crush them. That they can. They're trying to get anybody to take them. So the customs just stopped them. Just crush them. But about 500 ventilators.
Wow.
Why are we not? Why is medicine go out and get ventilators? People are suffering or dying. Doctors, you live, you die. Because they can't breathe.
I mean,
I'm sure the government is sitting there and they ain't getting no medicine. The Florida, the governor, he's here, trying to drug. He's here alive.
Absolutely.
For 2 days.
Thank you. Pause right there. I think all of us are concerned at the lack of attention or focus or urgency with upgrading the current healthcare portfolio system, portfolio of resources. I think all of us are sitting here wondering, is there a plan?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I got to get to the next caller.
Listen.
Quick. I'm sorry, caller. Second caller, turn your radio down for me.
Yeah, good day, Dora.
Good day.
You know, I'm sure you lived in the UK, right? I have a brother living in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm in touch. I listen to UK radio and all talk. You know, and the issue in the UK today, the social issue in UK today, is about safety net for the old people. Social net for those, you know, the people who need care and you know, medical and the like. And you see, and the issue around it is raising taxes. You see, raising taxes, and the United States, right? There's an issue with this the same thing, social nets, you know. So infrastructure, social infrastructure, you see, and it's about taxes. But here in the Bahamas, our governments believe they need to get election by saying that there will be no new taxes.
Absolutely,
it is time that we as behemoths begin to be taxed. Those who make the money in our society needs to be taxed. They the rich people, and the middle class, the poor people. These people don't have nothing. You know, it's time we take care of our poor.
Absolutely,
and it's no other way. You see, and you need to put these questions to the politicians when they come on your show. You see, they talk about it from the neck, but all them are the same. They say, well, the BRB said, well, they did this institution and that institution, but forget that they did the institution of rot.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they bought a NHI with no tax. How does that work? They never bought the institution of income tax. You know, what happened to the LGBTs of the world and, you know, these people that govern for the poor no matter what, you see?
Absolutely.
So we in problems, miss. And you are someone that's studying the UK. We need people like you to shine the light on this, the deal today is social democracy.
Mm-hmm.
They could call it communist as much as they want. See, the conservatives would always call it communist. You see, the people that have needs to do their job needs to be taxed and take care of the people that they need to provide the safety net for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. A number of things noted here. What an important point. What did you expect if they implemented NHI without implementing a new taxation system to fund it? And I'm going to be honest with you, at this point in time, I'm not sure our politicians even understand that inherent in politics and governance is the centering of the citizen. Like, the politics and the governance do not exist without the citizens. But somehow we've been able, or they've been able to policy poor people right out of their mindset. They don't even have to think about them, right? And it brings to mind that old saying, poor people must die so mediocre people could live their best. I got another text here. We can't wait for the politicians for ideas. Perfect example, which voter thinks sticking 1 million political posters on the sidewalk is a brilliant idea? At a minimum of what, $9 per poster? At a minimum of $9 per poster. Or that's what I think that's what the person was charged per poster. Does that include the cost paid to have the poster erected? Did they get insurance? Did they have to pay an environmental? In fact, that's what I want to know. Were these posters produced locally, and did they have to pay an environmental levy fee to have them brought in? And will that environmental levy fee be paid to have them removed? Will the relevant agencies fine political parties if they do not move them? Or will we hear the old excuse that their subcontractor is responsible for that? Not me, miss. Not me. Miss Green, good morning. Just saying, at this time in history, nobody is talking about that issue. They just want to get in parliament. Only God can help us continue to pray for the world. Well, we could help us. There is an alternative to sitting and complaining about parties that you do not want to vote for. The alternative is starting your own party. It's always a good alternative. Kermit, I see we got a caller on the clock. Let's get to this caller. Good morning, caller.
Godly Day, this is talking voice along with you, Aaron.
Good morning, Godly Day. How are you?
I'm holding, thank God.
Blessings.
What I want to say, right?
Yeah.
Those politicians need to put those, because the walk is so narrow, they need to put those posters at least 6 feet in the air, because I buck into them, and guess what? They like hit me in my face, in my eye area. So they are too low.
Listen, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Bremen.
Thank you.
That's an important point. Maybe the most important point I can make, or you can, you know, we can make on this show today. Did anybody consider the impact of all of these signs on the differently abled, the vision impaired people among us? Did you think about it at all? I don't think you did at all. And where's the ministry? Where's the team from Ministry of Works that was supposed to approve the sites where these things were put up, before they put up, the same way that even temporary vendors have to have their sites approved by government agencies? Good morning, Aaron. Speaking of taxes, if Minnis wins, will we have to impose income tax as is required by the IMF? Boy, 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 I don't know. I don't know. That's an interesting one. But I don't think, I don't know if we have time to talk about it, but I would love, in fact, I'm going to try and find a policy person. Let's sort of have a conversation, looking at the policies promised, the ideas promised, and how they reconcile with existing obligations with international agencies and existing obligations created by legislation and treaties and things like that, and see if these guys can make good, if it's even possible for them to make good on their promises. Another text here, FNM, too straight, FNM, FNM, 25 seats or more. Now, that's another question I had to ask my audience. Who do you think is going to win? What is your prediction on seats? I see a lot of people talking about, what is it, 18, 20, and one independent. Looking at a split like that. What is your call? How do you call this election? I think another question I have is, do you think any independents or third parties going to win a seat? I think that Rees Chipman is the only independent that's going to win their seat. That's what I think. What do you think? Do you think Halston Moultrie has a better chance of winning now that he's joined the United Coalition Party? Do you think any of the teams, any of the parties that joined the coalition, United Coalition Party, improved their chances of winning the seat? Or they've been independents or remaining with their same party? And there's another question I have out there. If Travis Robinson retains his seat, will other young, does that mean that other young candidates and new candidates will also be successful? And then, do you think any former labor unionists gonna take a seat given the backdrop of unprecedented union unrest in the country? Those are some questions I have for you and for anybody, especially the candidates. Some text here. Question, who is a better match for the PLP after Brave loses the election? Alfred says Anchester or Glenys Anchester? Another text says, Ms. Green, I will charge all the parties 20 cents a poster to remove all the posters after the election. That ain't a bad price. They cost a whole $9. I'm saying that after, if they have not been removed by the end of the timeline set by the environmental legislation, then we make a public announcement that we're going to assist the parties, collect the posters, and recycle and upcycle them, and figure out if we're going to turn them into poster boards and chalkboards for inner city communities, for small home-based school pods, for people struggling to keep their kids on task. I think that's a great idea. Another text, Aaron, did you just laugh? Doesn't matter. I say tear all them ridiculous signs, tear them down, especially the one nailed to trees and plastered on Rick faces. They look disgusting. How are we supposed to show this city to any tourists when our leaders throwing their trash everywhere? I didn't laugh at you, you know, Texter. I laughed at the fact that I was about to tell the people, yeah, let's go break the law. And then I had to pull myself back in and be responsible and say, let's wait until the timeline is up. Let's give them the opportunity to do the right thing. Like I said, this is an audition. And I was in Cable Beach yesterday, and FNM and PLP, you all need to go pick up them signs for real. And while you're there, take some garbage bags and just pick up the general trash in the area. Do it for the country. Another text, what power does an independent have if they win? The independent has a lot of power if they win. First of all, they have the power to engage their constituency outside of the constructs of the power hierarchy of a party. They get to engage their constituents in an honest way that candidates that are members of parties just can't. because that candidate that's a member of a party, that MP that's a member of a party, has sworn an oath essentially to his party. The party that's, and then the administration, that like the legislative branch, right? And then if they're in cabinet, they also sort of swear in an oath to the cabinet as well, right? And so the obligation have to take a different balance. But if you're just an independent MP, then you don't have to share that obligation with very many other parts. You could speak honestly and truthfully to your constituents. There's a lot of power. It says, hello, Aaron, Mr. Moultrie is having another open parliament in Parliament Square tomorrow. Can you explain what the open parliament means for the Bahamian people? P.S. Please have that show about the IMF before election, if possible. Thank you. Well, I don't know if he could have an open parliament if parliament has been dissolved. And since he's a member of the United Coalition Party now, I don't know exactly what this exercise in town could be. Turn your radio down for me for a second, caller. I don't know what the event is actually going to be, right? I hope it's not taken over by third parties that don't understand that they are not providing a space for the citizen in this format. You know? It's a little anyway, I encourage them. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. This is my first time to your show, and this show is strong. Very interesting. Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen. Aaron, I have, I'm a caller from Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ezra Russell. And you know what the issue is in our city, why everybody is frustrated and everybody thinks that the government does not work for them? You want me to tell you why?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at our family island. Okay. And let's see how much people leave those family islands every pile up in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
Pile up.
Yep.
And you know the cost of this? Yes, if government doesn't think with their head and the merchant. You see all these white merchants in our country? You know why they want Nassau to be overloaded with people? To keep themselves in business. Aaron, look
mm-hmm.
at it. All the family island food, where it comes from?
Yep.
Nassau. Everything the family island people want, they got to come to Nassau for it. Nassau for it. We need to get our people back into the family island. Right now in Nassau, too much Bahamians are piled up on each other. Any city or any country that is overpopulated, what kind of problem you got, Aaron?
And
you see the kind of social ills you will have?
Yeah, but pause for a second. And I'm just going to clarify a point. I don't think we're overpopulated. I think we have too many pockets of high density, which for Family Island people is a real psychological trauma and crisis. When you come from the Family Island and you could be, somebody could run you hard and you could walk for 3 miles and don't see nobody until you calm down. And then you come to New Providence and you can't turn your head without being buck up on somebody. That type of transition could be psychologically traumatic for the average Bahamian. So it's not an overpopulation, it's a density problem where we have too many people pack up into one place. But the point you're making is sound.
I mean, Aaron, let's think about it now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at those islands with high populations of 25 to 3 to 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
You go to them now, 500, 600. All over the Bahama Islands, all over. You know who take them over? Foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
The foreigners take it over. And everybody is in Nassau. How do we get these people back home and get them working life again? How do we do that?
Man, look here, Mr. Russell, this is an awesome question. I put in on my list of questions for candidates. And it's,
yeah.
Thank you very much. I got another caller. So I've
okay.
ended it. Thank you very much. And I can make this point now that you're gone. I know, I think it was the 2012 PLP administration that promoted the policy of anchor projects. Unfortunately, the anchor projects were foreign-owned tourism interests, right? But the anchor project idea was to draw people back to the family island and have an economic interest that was large enough to support the movement, the transition of citizens, and the reignition, right? The revamping of infrastructure in those spaces to have this sort of symbiotic rebuilding of these communities, and it didn't quite work out. But that is it. How are we going to bring development, industry, business, community back to the Family Islands while at the same time preserving and doing the best to preserve the environment in the present and in the future? And understanding not just the economic impact or the economic need, right, and the sort of development need for a policy like that, but understanding the psychological and emotional need that you got a lot of people in New Providence who are not performing at their best, at their optimal capacity, because psychologically they're in crisis because this place is too dense, it's too jammed up, too disorganized, too unavailable for healthy living. Thank you very much, Ms. Smith. I forget to take a commercial break. Let's go to commercial, and their texters and caller, if you could hold the line, let my producer know. Be coming after the break.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rocks are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And today we are talking 9 days till the general election. And I say I got a caller on the line. I'm going to go straight to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. You're a little loud there.
This is Sparky shouting at you.
Hey, Sparky.
The terminology is shouting at you, so I got to shout.
Yeah, man.
But anyway, hey, good girl, how you doing? Family's doing well.
Yeah, we good, we good.
But you know, this is two topics that, if anybody remember, I have been talking about this from the so-called New Rail in 94. I think it was 94 when they opened up the airwaves. But I was talking about this before that, when we had the Speak Up show with Steve McKinney at NEMAP on ZNS on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I used to talk about that then, and we had the round table talk to.
Yeah.
Two topics I used to always talk about from back then was the illegal immigration problem. That from 94, it got worse and worse and worse to the point right now that I don't believe people didn't even check for it no more.
No, man, do you remember the story? The BBC did a whole story about the Robinson Crusoe family
that found themselves lost
in the Bahamas.
Hold on, man. You could take my time away. But what I'm saying, I'm talking about illegal Haitian immigration, so I can use Haitians, because that's the majority of those that come to the Bahamas. They said we have 39 shanty towns. How many people check down there? How much if there's any COVID going on in there? That's another point. But then we was talking about the out island versus, I used to call it out island, so now they call it the family of island.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about this situation from way back then, and nobody to be just talk about it. But from way back then, first of all, for people to stay in the outer islands, they have the
oh boy.
They need the proper roads, they need businesses and so forth. So what happens is, a young child goes to, say, Long Island High School, he reaches high school. He wants to afford it. If the family can't afford for that child to go straight off to university somewhere in the world, he has to come to Nassau to get further education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that child from Long Island meets, said I was a male. Going to the University of Maryland, he meets a female from Exuma. There's nothing happening in Exuma. There's nothing happening in Long Island. So they become a little couple. They become maybe brown and white. So when they settle down in New Providence, then they can have children in New Providence who never went to Long Island or Exuma, only go there when mommy take them divided to a funeral, a wedding, or they got her.
And then don't want steak because they know no internet.
Because they were job in their school and it's back in that fall.
Yeah.
And then they can mingle with somebody from Andres. So everybody from all Long Island can be coming to the pub to New Providence. Instead, Bahamas is not overpopulated. It's New Providence.
Absolutely.
It's the capital, the city, what they call, they call the island Nassau now, which is really New Providence.
Thank you, Sparky. I got to go. Now, look here, I'm going to throw something out there, and Sparky did not tell me to say this, but imagine if we took the incentives that, you know, like when we pay tourists to come here. Do you know that we pay tourists to come here? We literally pay tourists to come here. To come here, not them paying us to come here. But what if we took some of that money and subsidized and incentivized Bahamians going back to the family island instead of paying tourists to come to us who say we have a tourist economy? Thank you for that idea, Sparky. But I tell you, you raised another thing, which is on my list of questions for candidates, and it is this. One of our biggest problems is our inability to sustain a clear, coherent discussion to its conclusion. How will you capture the collective or public consciousness? How will you cause Bahamians to see and or buy into your and or your party's national vision, or even better, a collective national vision? But how are you going to help us get past this point where something like Oban happens and then 3 years later, we done forget about it. We done forget that somebody convicted of a crime committed another crime in front of our prime minister and or documented on film. We forget that somebody promised us a report about it. We forget that they lost a report and somebody promised us a report about that too. We forget that there was a fire at BPL infrastructure. We forget that there was supposed to be a report. Part of the report was leaked. Then we instantly forgot that they're supposed to still come back and tell us the whole report. See, one of our biggest problems is we is forget too much. Now, mind you, the way that the body is designed, it is designed to forget, to allow you to forget very traumatic experiences. And while on the surface, Oban may not have seemed like a traumatic experience, having lied to you over and over and over again can be extremely traumatic. I got a text here. Why don't the members of parliament go in their various constituencies and pick up the garbage? They will show that they are working for the people. I agree, texter. Another text. The signs on the trees and the hillsides are included in the definition of trash. They are so tone deaf. While people can't buy bread, children can't eat, they flood in the streets with all these signs to show how much money they have to throw away. Shame. All them mothers with their posters begging for bread and the other panhandlers should stand up right outside cabinet asking if they could trade collected signs for food. That would be awesome. That's an awesome idea. Right? You should be able to trade a sign for a plate of food. Also, while young women and older women in New Providence and the Family Island can't afford to buy enough pads and tampons for their monthly cycle, you out here sticking 1,000 signs in the broad. Aaron, let that texter know that the power of an independent is the power to represent the people of their constituency when voting on the passing of bills. For example, if there were more MPs who voted against the approval of the emergency powers, then it couldn't be passed. This relates to the concept that an independent MP doesn't have to vote along the lines of party allegiance, but rather in a manner which reflects the will of the people. Or at the very least, when the state of emergency orders expired, we would have had or been able to possibly force the government to account, to make an economic accounting before the institution of another state of emergency. Caller on the line, caller, You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? Sorry about that, caller. Second. Sorry about that, callers. Another text. Tell Bahamians it's better to buy a house than build right now. Material prices have tripled. And don't be afraid to move to Family Island. Nassau, too expensive. And pack up. Another text. Hello, the government doesn't want Nassau depopulated because the business owners who financially back them wants a large customer base. You know, I was going to respond to that and say that Walmart wouldn't open a shop in the entire Bahamas because our whole country population doesn't fit their minimum requirement for store location. There's not enough people in the whole Bahamas for them to put one Walmart store here. So that kind of makes sense to me. Another text. Thank you, texter. Another text says, we ain't forget Aaron, but they want us to. Yes, they do want us to. And that's why it's important for us as citizens to create the mechanisms and institutions we need to participate in governance, especially since it's our money. Ms. Green, I will charge. Okay, Ms. Green, make sure push for me for the 50 cent per poster removal contract. I also appreciate how you did the math dead quick and jump up from 20 cents to 50 cents, understanding your worth. MPs are not babysitters. Their job is not to feed you. No, their job is not to feed us. Their job isn't necessarily to feed themselves with our resources either. Their job is to listen to what we want, to create policy, to achieve it, and to listen to the technocrats and civil servants tell them how they can, within the scope of the law, achieve the policy that they want that's based on the mandate that we give them. MPs are not babysitters, and neither are citizens. And so why are we here babysitting mediocre, lackluster, non-imaginative, non-creative MPs? Another couple texts before we go. Aaron, please tell your audience that the MIF cannot require that the Bahamas do anything. They only suggest that the government has already stated, along with 130-plus countries, that we support a global minimum corporate income tax for multinationals. So we don't support an income tax for super rich people here? We don't do that? Anyway. Another text. No repeat PM since Papa. He deserved it. No, nobody deserves it. I saw somebody the other day asking, who deserves to win Pinewood? The people of Pinewood are the only category that deserve to win in Pinewood. Let us change the perspective. Let us recenter the citizen in this process. How could a politician deserve anything? Another text, not only will Travis not win his seat, but the FNM on the whole will not win. That's a guarantee. Bahamians haven't voted in a government since Ingram 1997. We've horrible treatment we received from Minnis has secured his inevitable defeat. P.S. I hope the texter, FNM3 straight, is prepared with lots of medicine and resources. We don't talk to each other like that, man. We got to change the way that we engage each other over politics. Most importantly, because politicians don't engage each other that way. Not the big guys, not the guys who have figured out the game, not the ones that have created this political culture. They don't fight with each other in that way. They pretend on the surface. And then when they go home or back to their businesses, they continue to work together in the way that capitalism suggests that they should. And so, I want to say to my people, we really, really need to remember that this election is ours, the people's, to win. But we can only win it if we do the hard work. It's like you sitting back complaining, asking yourself why Usain Bolt always beat you in the 100 meters. It's because he trains, he practices, he does the hard work. And we, the people, have to do the hard work of building the mechanisms and institutions necessary to ensure that we can participate in governance. And if you don't like what the parties that are out here are doing, you always have another option. And that's not the option to not vote. You have the option to start your own party and to find and build the resources you think are necessary to grow this country. Find the people you think have the skills and will commit to doing the task with you. And one more text to read as we go. Aaron, up and satisfy the masses. What are you saying? Do you mean a person deserves when they do well and satisfy the masses? It's even more complicated than that. No politician deserves a seat. They don't deserve to win. Only the constituents deserve to win. And that's the type of politics we need to be practicing in this country. Anyway, that's my time. I'm out of here. I'm going to try and make my way quickly to the 2021 Commonwealth Law Conference Association, where I've been invited to speak on a panel that may have already started. So I am out of here, and stay tuned, because that's another big conversation we need to have, the movement of law and policy in this country before the next general election. It's 11 a.m. Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. Have a wonderful day, Bahamas. Kermit, play the song for me. Play the song to end the show. It's a new song by a guy named, the song is called ACR. By Lucien. Enjoy.
Raise your flag. Raise your flag.
Who's gonna mount these ACR? Who's gonna mount these ACR? Who's gonna mount these ACR? Election time is coming now.
Election time is coming. Election time is coming.
Election time is coming now.
It's time for that.